This is yet another historic day for the ministry.
Amen.
Amen. As with most historic days, it is bittersweet. But I can tell you, not wanting to make Jamie or anyone else over at the Quillas struggle, but it's going to be awesome at my house.
Amen.
And as I told Dave earlier this week, everyone is going to actually be refined into disciples of Jesus or quit. And amen, that's what Jesus would have us do. But it's going to be awesome because, you know, we're not going to make you do anything. And I'm not going to make you quit. But the winnowing fork of Jesus is coming to work. And good to see all the Matthews, and you're coming to my house, you know. Anyway, open up to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. I remember when I was in junior high and high school, and even when I was in college and would come home for summer vacation or spring break or Christmas vacation, and we would play cards. And that was a blast. Jamie would have loved it. And we would play cards. We played a game called the bidding game. Some people call it other names, but it's a trick-taking game called the bidding game. And it has trump, and the trump changes hand to hand. Anyway, we had a blast, and we had rules and a constitution, a scorecard, and different ways of playing in accordance with the hydroplane rules, but don't ask. But anyway, it was always great when we were playing cards. We would videotape ourselves. You got to be pretty hard up, but actually, the videotape, watching the videotape of my family playing cards was more hilarious than playing cards. Anyway, I mean, my mom would do Mimi, she would like do WWF impersonations in the middle of cards. Those are classic days. Anyway, without getting too much into it, that was something. But getting back to the card playing, you know, when you play a game where you have trump, that is a suit of cards that trump other cards, like a two of trump beats an ace of something else. You like to have the trump cards in your hand. It just gives you more authority. You can be more aggressive. It gives you some confidence. It's like, this round will go the way I dictate it. And so you wait, you're getting your cards, you're seeing what you're getting. If the last card is turned over, you see what suit is trump. And if you've got a handful of trump cards, it's like, you can be aggressive, you can be confident, you can be certain, you can dictate things. You're just a different person than someone who's just trying to get through that hand, who doesn't have them. Biblically, that's true too. Our title is Love, colon, not the word colon, but punctuation mark colon, the ace of trump. All right? My only concern for anyone ever who's a disciple of Jesus is that they lose or lack love. Because if you lack love, you're going to have to play your life in Christ like you've got a two of an offsuit and a five and a six and see what you can come up with. And it is a dreadful way to live, really. I could not imagine. We're going to read some scriptures today that are impossible to read and impossible to preach. And why the Holy Spirit is bothering to have me read them is anybody's guess. But I've actually preached none of them in the last 5 years and have no desire to preach them today. However, in a time of great need to love, they will be preached and they say what they say and I'll try to preach them. But the ace of trump of love in the kingdom is absolutely necessary. And love is the same way. If you've got it, love acts the same way as an ace, king, queen, jack. Someone else can have the nine. You'll draw it out. The nine and the ten. Eight, seven, five, four of trump. I think I'll be taking all the cards I want. And if you really love, that'll be your life in Christ. If you don't, it won't. Bear with me. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up dissension. But love covers all wrongs. If there is hatred, whether it is provoked or not, it will just stir up dissension and trouble. It just always will. Amen. That's what hatred does. But love covers over all wrongs. Which wrongs? All of them. You know, the only thing that hasn't happened to me that happened to Christ is being persecuted to death yet. And that, I'm sure, will come. And all wrongs will be covered over by love. The fact is, you've got to have this. You've got to have it. Hang in there with the scriptures tonight. You have got to fall down and pray if your love is lacking. We can no longer act like it is okay not to have the love that is required for you to live the scriptures God is calling you to live. It just must happen. Whether it is, look, I got to lose weight. I have got to lose weight. I've got to get in shape. I can't be a tub of goo. I told Jamie earlier, I said, look, I got to fall down in front of the dessert on the floor and just cry about it. Really? Because I'm in love with God and it will not be. It will not be that I must eat because it's out. I'm telling you, the only thing that will ever motivate you ever to do that is love. It's not pride. It's not pride. It's not reputation. It's not the fear of men. It is, I love God and I cannot serve God this way. Those of you who are so unself-disciplined, have no budget, have no schedule, have no plan, have no idea scripturally where you're going and what you're doing and what you've committed to God, you've got to throw yourself on the floor and weep and wail about the fact that you cannot submit to a plan from God. You've got to do it. And the only thing, see, if you don't love, you won't be able to weep and wail. You won't. Love covers over all wrongs. It is truly the rocket fuel of being a disciple. It is truly the greatest of the commands. It is truly the need of the hour for both ministries. It is truly what you must have. And it is exactly the lack of love that accounts for you enduring and putting up with and tolerating godlessness in your life. And I'm not even talking about stuff that has to rise to the level of sin. I'm talking about just simple godlessness. Stuff that's got squat to do with God. Love covers over all wrongs. Somebody does you wrong. Five a Trump. Thanks. No problem. Wow. How do I get that life? You better love somebody. Somebody just slandered me to so-and-so and I lost my job as a result. Six of Trump, thank you. But it's better with love. Ace of Trump, another ace, another ace, another ace, another ace, another ace. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, look it up, love never fails if you've got it. Oh, there's only one ace per day. Now we love, it's actually better. Another ace. Someone actually stole my wife, had an affair with her, and took her off. If that's your situation, ace of Trump, thank you. Ooh, I'm not sure I can overlook that one. That's because you don't love, right? I mean, am I allowed to read the Bible, and is it allowed to mean what it says? That love covers over all wrongs? Well, not that one. Many people believe, and this is sad, there's no convincing anybody of this. Fortunately, I don't have to. Many people believe that I am bold, confident, aggressive, on you, and in your face, Because I have more money than you. I have a better education than you. I've been at this longer than you. And that gives me authority over you. And that is garbage. Because Micah will tell you, I've done this from the day I got out of the water. When I had less money than anyone I ever knew, more debt than anyone I knew, was younger spiritually than anyone I knew, was more of a wretch, which is still true, than anyone I knew, and had been at it a shorter time than anybody else. It's love. I play my life in Christ like I got a full hand of aces of trump cards. It makes you confident, doesn't it? If you've got them. Just play cards with me here. Yeah, you know, when I played cards like that, I'm like, come to Papa now. Yeah, I know. That's how loving people is in the kingdom. You're afraid of no situation, afraid of no wrongdoing, afraid of not getting bent out of shape. People sinning against you is no issue. People messing up and letting you down or God down is no problem. People failing is no big deal. People having weaknesses and difficulties or troubles is no problem. You can cover it all by loving them.
All right, what's the score?
I can share some with you. You can hate me as a result, and I'm good with it because I love you. It's what makes you confident. It's what makes you aggressive. It's what makes you certain. Look at Romans chapter 9. Love covers all wrongs. Wow. It's the only thing in the Bible that doesn't. The blood of Christ will do it for a disciple. Well, love will do it for a disciple toward anyone. And actually, even for worldly people, doesn't make them a disciple, but it'll cover wrongs, but they'll just be forgiving. They'll be okay. Romans chapter 9. Here's some impossible scriptures for you. Let's take a look at scripture. We're just doing the Bible, all right? Let's see what the Bible says. How does love react? I know how we react. That makes me mad. Whoa, that makes me really happy. That confuses me. Well, whatever about that. We'll see how love reacts. Paul tried very, very hard in his life in Christ. He tried very, very hard to win people to Christ. Most particularly early in his life in Christ, his own people of Israel, who did truly have a relationship with God before Christ came on the scene. And he tried incredibly hard to win them to the truth in Christ. Much as we try to win people to Christ. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Paul writing, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. Like, what in the world has this guy got to say that he has to preface it with all this stuff? Why is it that you can't just say what you've got to say? The answer is because no one will believe it. It's crazy. People will write it off as, yeah. Maybe that was just an emotional moment, Paul. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. What Paul is about to say is incredibly serious and incredibly true. And who's your witness, by the way? When you say what you say, is Christ your own conscience, the Holy Spirit, are they standing by agreeing and confirming what you're saying? Verse 2. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. We're going to go slow, just hang in there. Paul has ministered to many people, and nobody wants it. And even the people who got it, the people who listened, who maybe even became disciples, largely quit and are no longer disciples. And what do you do with that? We know how we used to do it in the world and how many disciples still try to do it today. Right? It seems to me that when you have a situation involving great sorrow and anguish in your heart, you have two options. I'll give you an example. Mom and Dad don't want to study the Bible, don't want to know about Jesus, don't want to hear the Scriptures, don't want to do it, have no interest in Christ. Those are the facts. Oh, man. And you love Mom and Dad. Well, I need to stop there, right? We just wear that a while. Paul would write, we'll see, he's talking about similar people. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. I think this is why people are afraid to love. But if you will hang in with the Scriptures today, if you will hang in with the Scriptures today, you'll be able to love. But it will wipe you out. It will destroy you and devastate you if you really dare to care. If you really care, you're all done. What's the Bible say? Isaiah writes of Jesus. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Was a man of sorrows? Well, I mean, he past tense, so. Yeah. He was just a man of sorrows. You mean at times it was difficult? He never shrugged them off. That used to bother me, but no more, I'll tell you. No, that wasn't Jesus. Jesus was just a man of sorrows. Paul, actually wearing Jesus' yoke, was, verse 2, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. When are you going to get over that, Paul? Never. This is how love reacts to ministering the word. You get to have a life of great sorrow and unceasing anguish. It never goes away. Never goes away. Because there are two alternatives to unceasing anguish and great sorrow in your heart. Two alternatives. You want to pick one? There are only two. One, we've tried them both, right? In the world. Christ in that way. One, harden your heart. Hey, Mom and Dad are hard-hearted. They'll get theirs. And when they're in the hellfire, they should have listened to me. I don't care anymore. Wow. You wouldn't hurt anymore, but you don't love either. Just harden your heart. My wife cheated on me. My husband cheated on me. Fine. I'm done with them. I'm sleeping on the couch from now on. That is an option. You've lost love, by the way, and you no longer have the very thing Jesus called you to. You no longer have the yoke of Christ, and you can no longer cover all the wrongs you could have with love. But we've tried it. Harden your heart. Another alternative, this is very popular around the world. Water down the standard like it doesn't exist. The Bible doesn't mean what it says, and it doesn't say what it says. And you know, Mom and Dad are good people. And I'm inclined to think that they'll probably be all right. Yay! They'll be fine. And Uncle Harry, he'll be good. And my best friend in school, you know, I needed $20 one time, and he was there with it. And what's God going to do, overlook that? I think God is love. And I think that we all mess up. And it's okay. And amen. That's all right. And you know, you will never ever have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in your heart because you don't have the truth. You won't have the truth. And you will never need to hurt for anyone for real because you've watered down the fact that people are dying and going to hell. You just watered it down. So, you tell me. Tonight, get honest wherever you're going tonight. You get honest. Seems to me you got three choices. Okay? You water down the truth. Oh, I think they're my good Christian friend when the Bible wouldn't say that, but you would. You want to water it down, you want to harden your heart, or you want to just be in unceasing agony, anguish, and sorrow for these people. Those are your choices. And I'm telling you, if you're going to love people for real, get ready. I told Michael years ago when he moved to Orlando, I said, right when he moved here, I said, brother, there's a resolution for you. He kept taking these 700-mile, one-way, 1,400-mile round trips to North Carolina to get resolution. I said, you're not going to get resolution there. There is a resolution if you want it. Yeah, show it to me. All right. Oh, here it is. It's great sorrow and unceasing anguish, brother. This is the way it is. This is a sad situation. It appears that it will always be a sad situation. And so your life will be great sorrow and unceasing anguish forever unless somebody repents. That's the resolution. And you get to join Jesus Christ in being a man of sorrows. I mean, is that so bad? Will you dare? Will you dare to love people enough to hurt for them unceasingly? Before you say yes. Verse 3. I must be a bozo even reading these scriptures, but Paul says in verse 3, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. It's hard to begin here. You know, the Holy Spirit leads Paul so well because his words are so perfect. He says, For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of someone else. Paul knows it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You don't get into Christ because someone else gave up their seat in Christ. Paul knows it doesn't work that way. Okay? That's why he doesn't say, I would, or I will, or I could. It's just, you know, I could wish. If I was to imagine a scenario by which I could save these people who will not get it and will not have it and do not have it, if I could imagine a scenario whereby I could wish that I would be replaced by them in Christ, I'd do it. He knows that's not possible, but his wording is awesome to reveal his heart on the matter. And when he speaks of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel, don't get nervous. Paul's not a racist. Paul's not, you know, playing favorites. Paul, we're going to read in a minute, these people really had it. Paul's brothers, his Israeli brothers, they really had it until Christ came, and then they rejected him. They had it. It was theirs. He saw it. They had a relationship with God that was a saving one, one that was real, one that was biblical, and then they lost it. We've seen that. I hate to even ask, but the Bible would pose the question, wouldn't it? Would you go to hell for somebody? Would you? Because I would. Pop them up. Dave Foster, yep. Emil, uh-huh. Julie, uh-huh. Pop them all up. And I am bold as all get out because I'm in love with you. And God is my witness. And the Holy Spirit does confirm it. I go to hell for any of you. And all those who ever fell away. And the people I'm studying with. And pick someone over there, I'm in. Really. And in the world, I mean, my motto was reach out and crush someone. Bible says, 1 John, we love because God first loved us. And I think many of us do not understand how much God loves you and how much God has demonstrated his love for you. Because you really don't love in accordance with the love God has shown you, and you must be unaware of it. It's a mystery to me. I mean, I'm very hard on Richard. You know, sometimes ungently so. I'd go to hell for Richard in a heartbeat. I love Richard. That's why I'm confident and bold with him. Because Richard can get mad, handle it badly, and so can anyone else. And I'm still in love with you. We'll talk more about that in a minute. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Is that your heart? Wherever you go tonight, I want you to get honest about that call and that test. I want you to get honest. And it will reveal in your life favoritism. Man, I thought we were getting away from this guy. It will reveal, oh, I'd go to hell for her, and maybe her. I don't even know those people. All right. It will reveal in your heart favoritism. It will reveal in your heart something less than what the Bible calls perfect love. It will reveal that your lack of love does not allow you to feel the way Paul did, nor the way Jesus did, and be a man of sorrows with unceasing anguish in your heart. I think some of us hate it so much, you just have to wear it. You just have to wear it. This is awesome. It's like, to me, it's so awesome because I was so cold-hearted in the world. I was stone-hearted in the world. And so that's why, to me, it is such an encouragement to be in love with people because it's like, man, this is the most powerful thing imaginable. Then I get to read the scriptures that confirm that very fact, that it is the very thing that covers over all sin. It is the very thing that never fails. It is the very thing that you learn from God's example. It is the very thing that remains and is the greatest thing. I mean, it is it. I love being dealt a good hand. And if you can get to the point where you love people, you have got a great hand every day, every moment, with everybody. It's so awesome. It's like, wow. Where are you with that test? That's brutal. He goes on in verse 4, talking about his people. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Some of us have been around longer than others. Some of us have been around way, 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 way longer than others. Like, you know, Shal and I. We have seen people adopted as sons in Christ and quit. We have seen people with a divine glory in their life, powerful in word and deed, and quit. We have seen people given the covenants, the deal with God, where it's like, look, I'm going to be faithful with you, you're going to be faithful with me, and rise to spiritual heights and quit. The receiving of the law, the Bible, which I'd never read ever until Michael studied it with me, and we saw people who didn't know the Bible at all. They received it and loved it. They had the worship with us. They had the promises of God, and they quit. And love just takes the hits. I mean, I wonder how you know, Pat and Jonah have been around a while, with this ministry at least. They just, hey, just pile more on. More, oh, so-and-so quit too. Just add that to the stack. It's an endless stack. We should be about, I don't know, 48,000 pounds walking around now. Barely able to sustain the sorrow in our hearts. Barely able. But by the Holy Spirit. But when we want to harden our heart or water down the standard, we lose everything. You know, Julie gets to be sorrowful for Carmen and her mom and others. Papa gets to be sorrowful for Mimi. Matt gets to be sorrowful for his mom. Michael's got tons to be sorrowful for. Everybody's got them. I'm trying to encourage you to wear it, to embrace it, to resolve the resolution of Romans 9:2. This is my life. I get to be a person of sorrows, and this will always be sorrowful until it changes. And if it doesn't change, I will carry this sorrow and burden forever because I love. If you can't do that, it's because you don't love. It has to happen. Go Old Testament. Hosea chapter 1. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. That'll help you out a little bit. Hosea chapter 1. See, we got to ask each other. Please, wherever you're going. Jamie told me he'd be Mr. Salty over at the Quillas. So, amen, John. You got a salty one to take along. Just spread him around. And if you grind him up and granulate him, you can get more about. Rather than just, you know, one chunk of a person. So, anyway, Jamie would be happy in a blender. That's fine. Hosea chapter 1. I believe. You know, I may snooker you into this. Ari played a trick on me earlier and got me. I could trick you. Different trick than she used on me, but, you know, same kind of thing. If I rig a deck of cards and invite you to play cards with me, and I see you acting differently in that rigged deck of cards, and I see you acting differently in your confidence in your game than you do in your confidence as a disciple, then I'm going to remind you of this. Because the reason is because you don't love. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, this is quite the kickoff party, go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. What? Okay, Hosea, you're my man. Hey, man, I got a live one here in Hosea. What does God want out of his prophets, out of his preachers, out of his teachers? What God wants is people who understand God. And you're going to have to love like God loves to do God's deal. And the reason you don't do God's deal is because you don't understand God, nor do you love like God. And it is impossible to do God's deal without loving like God loves. It's not circumstances. Oh, I got a lot to learn. It's not that. Oh, well, I've just been so distracted. It's not that. It's I don't love like God loves, and therefore I can't do God's deal. Check this out. What in the world kind of plan is this? Some of us can't even get put together, you know, an Orlando, Florida, USA 2004 plan. All right, Hosea, you live in the dust in terrible times with no running water. I got an idea for you just to add on to the, you know, the tragedy of your life. Go take to yourself an adulterous wife. That sounds like a blast. And children of unfaithfulness. Boy, that'll get you a good reputation in the community. Why? Why is that a good idea? Because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery and departing from the Lord. God's saying to Hosea, you know, I really need someone who feels like I feel. I really need someone who hurts like I hurt. I really need someone who understands what I understand. I really got to have someone who's genuine, someone who's built up in love and not puffed up with knowledge. I got to really have someone who will get it and say it and live it and survive it and be like God. The call for us is no different. God needs people who are like God. Hello? I mean, God needs people who will say it. God needs people who understand it. God needs people who care. Anyway, so Hosea gets married. And his wife has, you know, a child from another man. And then another one from another man. And in Hosea chapter 3, move to Hosea chapter 3. And Hosea's, you know, preaching. Phew. I'm sure to the ridicule of everyone. In Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. The Lord said to me, uh-oh, remember the last time? Not another great idea. You know, I will give people a lot of challenges often. And sadly, often the response I get is what they think about it. Not submission to what God has to say. But hey, they don't do God's work, but Hosea does. The Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. It's like, you know, God hasn't even risen to the level to defeat dessert. Tell me the priorities in your life. Oh, God and family and, you know, parents and job. Oh, and, yeah, and, you know, those are my priorities. Careful now. I just read about people who like dessert more than they like God. And the Bible would say some of us do too. The Lord said, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Do you know what is awesome? I want this so bad for you. I don't know what to do. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. I want this so bad for you. I'm thinking I'll go under the ground. I'll come up through the middle of that tree if that'll do it. That's some doing, but I saw Kill Bill 2 yesterday and I think anything's possible. Anyway, Shaw drags me to those things. I want this so bad for you. Bear with me again. Hosea 3, verse 1. God talking. Go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Go do it, Hosea. Isn't that too much to ask? Hosea is humiliated. This is embarrassing. This is ridiculous. I'm the scourge of the earth. People talk about me all the time. She's painting the town with all the boys except this prophet. Isn't that too much to ask? You know why it's not? This is so cool. You know why it's not too much to ask? Oh, this is good. I'm thinking of several examples here, but this is good. I remember a couple things. I'll give you two examples. I remember when the Magic had a team. You know who I'm talking about? The Orlando Magic? They used to have a team. Anyway, I mean, they had Shaq and Penny, and they were... Actually, they'd gone to the finals, and it was the following year when they were looking good until they played the Bulls with Jordan again. Anyway, they were in a first-round game, and they were up 2-0. They're about to close out the series. They go on the road. I think they were playing Indiana, and Indiana wasn't even that great. They were like an 8 seed. They were a 1 seed, and they go into Indiana, and they're down 21 at half. And this is before the hijinks where Penny got Brian Hill fired. And they talked to Brian Hill at halftime. You know what he said? He said, well, I'm about to go in and talk to the team. You don't need to worry. We'll be winning this game. Coach, you're down 21 at half. But he's like, I know what we got. We got the best team, the best players. We can mop the floor with this team. We have no problem erasing 21. Thanks. I remember 1981. Gold Cup. Madison, Indiana. There's a big controversy as to who jumped the gun, hydroplane racing, who jumped the gun, and it looked like everyone jumped the gun but Budweiser. But Budweiser had the Griffin engine, they were state-of-the-art, rolling, and they were like, hey, do you have to run everyone down now, or do they all jump the gun, you can take it easy, not flip over? Word came back, you know, Atlas Van Lines and Bill Muncy did not jump the gun, and they are your legal leader. And Bernie Little radioed to the driver, go get him! I know what I paid for, I know what I got, go get him! Budweiser went by that guy like he was nailed to a post. Same thing happened a year later, a new turbine engine boat was going, he blew by him too in the same scenario. Pay-a-pack is legal, go get him! Gone! And you got to be careful because you blow over backwards into their open canopy. There's no protection. You flip over, you die. I mean, it's ugly. But we know what we paid for. We know what we built. We know what we got. We know who's driving. Go get them. That's God with someone who loves. Isn't it a bit much to ask God? God's like, Hosea, you got 11 cards in your hand. They're all aces. They're all aces of Trump, Hosea. Play them. Thank you. I gave them to you. You have them. You've been holding them. Play them. Thank you. It is not too much to ask. If you love, it is hardly anything to ask. If you have seen the love God has shown you, and you can really 1 John love because God first loved you, nothing is too much to ask. Play them, Hosea. Thank you. Look at Hosea's lot in life and the humiliation and the embarrassment, and all those wrongs didn't count. What is your deal? You gotta be kidding me. So many hitches in our hearts. Well, I'm not too sure. What? Let's open this thing up and find out what in the deal is holding us. What has gummed up the works? Play those cards God gave you. I don't have them. You mean God loved you, showed you who you were, loved you, gave you life in Christ, and the rest of the Bible's not true for you, that you love because he first loved you and you don't get it? Is that where we're at? Yikes. Something's gone horribly wrong. If you could get this, this is no problem for God to ask you and you'll deliver. I'm in. Whatever, God. You dial it up. I'm in. Lover, as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. Verse 2. Hosea didn't mess around. How sad is this? She was on sale. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. I don't know, a whole lethic? It's a bit much. Is that how you think? How about half a lethic? A whole homer? When does that go on sale? Here's the fact. I believe it's why Paul writes to the Corinthians to encourage us to plant seeds, to water seeds, and to let God make things grow. So that when the time comes, you'll be afforded an opportunity to buy somebody back to the truth. If you're like, fine, I am done with them. Whew. God's like, well, certainly can't use them. We're down 21 and a half, and I got no players. God's not going to say, go, make it happen. You've got nothing. But if you really love people, see, this is what I do. I'll give you a little secret. You want a secret? You want to know? I am a fool. Else, like, tell me. I mean, I don't know what you guys do, but I'll share with you what I do. And you, some of you have seen me actually do it, and then you wondered about it. And some of your wondering can stop. I look for this verse 2 opportunity. I look for somebody on sale who I can buy back for the truth. That's what I do. You don't even remember who left. And I know what's going on, and I'm looking for an opportunity to buy them back. And you've forgotten all about them. And the only reason that is not because I have more money than you, because I've always done that. Michael knows from the get-go. People were written off. I'll go get them. Wow, how come they're back? I went and got them. All I had to do was love them. Be all right. You got to buy people back. You don't even know they're on sale. The world has used them up and is done with them. And they're on sale if you were around. And yeah, sometimes they need some real help. Sometimes they've made a financial ruin of themselves, but a lot of times they just need someone to understand them, love them, and forgive them. A lot of times they just need to understand that, hey, that's all right. What I got covers anything you could mention. I often give brothers in, I don't know, the ministry the example of, you know, what can't you tell me? You got seven people buried under the house? All right, what else? Aren't you going to call 911? You know who you're talking to? All right, you got seven people buried under the house. What else is going on? How's your relationship with your mother? You know, I'm just trying to talk to you. And people to be bought back just need you to love them. They need you to not give up on them. They need you not to water down the truth like, oh, they'll be okay. And they need you not to harden their heart like, fine, forget you. Why don't you just hurt for them and unceasingly be in anguish for them and carry around a 48,000-pound heart all the time that somehow God will make easy and light burden for you anyway? It's a weird thing. It takes the grace of God to make that impossibility happen, but it happens in the Bible. How else do you reconcile the scriptures we've read today? I mean, how can you lay that on Hosea? Because God knows what he put in Hosea, and he knows that Hosea loves people. You know, how come Paul walks around with this unceasing anguish and sorrow, but Paul's good to go? God knows what he's got in Paul. It's all right. I look for this opportunity to buy people back. It's what I do. And don't mess with me. You know, when Paul wrote to Philemon about Onesimus, you can read it on your own. And he said, look, Philemon, if Onesimus owes you anything, bill it to me. Thanks. Goodbye. Do you do that for people? I mean, you really got, I think, love people to do that for people. And some of us can't even beat our way out of our own paper bag of our own life. I mean, certainly love's got to, I mean, you got to melt that bag with your tears. I mean, you got to cry your way out of that bag, man. I mean, you got to. It's like, look, people need me more than this. I don't even know where I'm coming or going. I don't even know what I've got. How is that? You don't love enough. You know, one thing Hosea knew, that despite this terrible reputation, getting paid as a prophet, okay, that makes zero, you know, being the scorn of the town, he knew he had 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethic of barley. Do you have that? Well, I have to look up the conversion tables, brother. You still wouldn't know if you had it. Well, I haven't done my budget. All right, well, this is what's needed. Who's ready? I'm in. What do you need? Okay, we need more people who are like, what is needed? What is needed? All I hear is, well, I'm not sure about that, or, well, you know, I don't really have that. I never even asked that question, and have never asked the question. Well, hold on a minute before we get too carried away. Now, let me take a look at what I've got available. I've never done that. I was $290,000 in debt when I started my firm. If anyone was ever going to ask that question, it should have been me. I would rather die and go to hell than ask the question of, well, what have I got available? I'm up for, hey, what do you need, God? And what do they need? What's it take? But you're going to have to love to have that attitude. Hosea wasn't like, well, I'm running a little short. Well, you know, I don't know. She messed up. Hosea's got what it covers. Anyway, that's how I live. I look for the chance to buy people back. Okay? So if you ever quit on God, better be looking over your shoulder. Because if you go on sale, I'm going to buy you. Some of us are too prideful for that. I'm going to hide then. I'm going to hide. That's all right. You hide all you want. I'll find you. Verse 3. Hosea 3, verse 3. Then I told her, Hosea talking. He tells his wife after buying her back, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man. And I will live with you. Okay? Look, loving somebody is not giving them a Hallmark card. Loving somebody is not a box of chocolates and some roses and an I'm sorry. Loving somebody is washing them with the word. Honey, honey, honey. This is how it is. This is the Bible. Okay? Look, I preach the word to you because I love you. I don't preach the word to you because I'm better at the word than you. If I had to do the calculus on figuring out whether that was the case, I'd probably blow a gasket in my head. I preach the Bible to you because I love you, and I know you need this. I know you need the Bible. That's what you need. I know that many times what you want is syrup and sugar and cotton candy and Hallmark cards and It's Okay, Honey. What you need is the Bible. The Bible tells me that. That's what you need. That's why I give it to you. But I got some news for you. We can't turn to all these places. But in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says that there is no fear in love. Yeah. Right. Exactly. The reason you're afraid of me is simply because you don't love me. I'm okay with that. That's where you're at. Can you acknowledge the same? For the Bible would tell you there's no fear in love. So you being afraid of me is simply because you don't love me. Amen. That's true. May it set us free and we see where we are. That's why. It's not because, well, he's hard. Remember, you know, Jesus told that parable about that guy who wanted to say, you're hard, and you're a slave driver, and you expect too much. So here's your little coin. I hit it down here. And Jesus like, here. Jesus didn't buy it. He took his coin, gave it to the guy who got 10, and sent him to hell. I'm not buying that garbage. You're not afraid of me because I've been at it longer, because I'm, you know, louder than you are. You're afraid of me because you don't love me, which is the very same reason why I'm not afraid of you. And Michael's been there from the beginning. I have not been afraid of anyone from the get-go because I've loved them. And it makes me bold with them because I know you need this. Wives, you're afraid of your husband because you don't love him. That's what the Bible says. You're afraid of husband because you don't love him. It's not because he's mean and harsh and a brute, for love can cover all wrongs. And there is no fear in love. Husbands, how embarrassing, the handover of the world, you know. And even in the kingdom. Big old tough rough husbands afraid of little wifey poo because you don't love her. For this is how it works. If I love somebody, what am I afraid of? What if they don't take it well? Oh, love will cover it. What if they get really mad at me? Love will cover it. What if they think I'm just being mean to them? Love will cover it. Look, the reason people fear is because they think they'll get in a situation they can't handle righteously, Psalm 73, and if they don't handle a situation righteously, they'll spill over into bitterness and all of a sudden sin, and it'll get really ugly. But if you love somebody, that'll never happen. Because you're in love with them. If I only love those people who aren't mad at me, that's not love. I just trump cards all day. I mean, Papa knows it wasn't like this when we played the bidding game. I mean, that was a hard game. Those trump cards were evenly distributed. But in the kingdom, man, I just, where are you getting all these aces? Love never fails. They're new every morning, right? God gives yourself every morning. Whoa! That's it. And that's why Hosea is able to say to her the Bible. Not out of fear, not out of meanness, not out of vengeance, but he's able to just tell her the way that it is because the Bible says it. And they're going to go from there. And they've got many days to work out the details. 1 Peter chapter 1. I know that when this ends, you guys are going to leave. That's terrible. Kike said that it wasn't supposed to happen today. You know, I'm pretty sure, Kike, if it doesn't happen today, it's never happening. Right, John? Hasn't it been like 55,000 years this has been planned? Kike's putting on a last-minute stay of execution. No! One more appeal! Alright, he sounds good to me. 1 Peter chapter 1. You gotta get this love thing. Okay? Love is it. I was like, woo! Would you just love to throw out aces all day? Look at Jamie. Man, that'd be some strong action. And Jamie'd be all merciless in the card game. He's loaded with all these aces. He thinks he's a good player. You don't even have to be a good player in this, brother. You know, it's like, hey, you know, you get all the good cards anyway. And then you get to live like Paul, and you just get to get your heart torched by people who quit, and it's all okay. And then you get to be like Hosea, and it's all embarrassing and crazy, and then you get to forgive people and take care of people who've done nothing but destroy you, and it's cool and okay, and you still preach the truth, and you're afraid of no one. Man, that's a thing to get. How are you going to get this thing? I know. 1 Peter 1. We got to get out of here. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Peter's writing to disciples, of course. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. How do we get this? Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love. How in the world are you going to get the sincere love of the Bible, of God, of Paul, of Christ, of Hosea, of the proverb writer? How is it you're going to get sincere love for people? Love that is a handful of trump cards, love that covers over everything. How is it you're going to get it? I'm telling you, by obeying the truth. Look, we're just, hey, God is not going to be mocked. I'm sorry. God's not going to be mocked. And if you're cutting corners, love doesn't look very sincere. Surely, brother, you can confess to me that you're cutting corners on obeying the truth. Come clean now. Where are you cutting the corners? Because you've got to be, and you know you are. Well, sometimes I'm just afraid of honey, and I don't want to confront her, and I don't want to ruin our night. Oh, what in the world kind of conviction is that? Yeah. Peter's writing to people who already had it. These are disciples who had it on straight. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. If you think, women, if you think you can be worldly, I'm sorry, you're not going to love, and this will be difficult. If you think you can sit around and look at magazines all day, this will be difficult. If you can think that your proms or your husband is not a gopher for you, which in the Bible there's no authority for him to take a to-do list from you ever, you're going to have a hard time. If you care about stuff, it's not going to work. And the reason it's not going to work is because you care about stuff so much. The reason it's not going to work is because you're never going to have the sincere love for your brothers, your sisters, and be able to love one another deeply like the Bible says and will require you to be and do to live the scriptures we've read. And you'll never get there. Ever. You can, I'm telling you, you look me up 14 years from now and let me know who you're going to hell for. And if it's not everybody, the scriptures are still hard, aren't they? Yeah, sometimes I just get so upset at hubby. I'm sure you do. It'd be a lot easier to love hubby. Boy, he could use it. Brothers know they're not exempt. Brothers, you are. You got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. I think the only gig, and it's definitely a gig, the gig that's got to be harder than being a clueless brother driving the train to Nowheresville is the people on board who don't have a choice but to be on board. You are killing people. And you are cutting corners on obeying the truth. That is sapping from you the ability to love people. And because of that, you cannot live these scriptures in delicate situations where a loving prophet is called for. That's just terrible. It's going to be some good action at my house. I'm almost jealous for DeQuilla's house. But you know what? This is cool. I'll just share this with everyone while we're here. DeQuilla's house is full of people who have... Oh, there's four of them there. Watch out, honey. It's full of people who have been instructed correctly and who know it and who got it and who see it. And what they need to do is go live it. The people at my house, other than, you know, Shallon, Mila, and myself, have never had that opportunity. So you keep an eye out on those passing lanes, because the people coming to my house have never had the opportunity to learn what the DeQuilla people have already learned. And we're putting turbine engines in our people. Don't even look at the passing lane. Just check the skies. I mean, I'm so excited for my people that they are going to get the opportunity. Hey, we don't know how it'll go over. But they're going to get the opportunity to learn what the DeQuilla people have learned. And that'll be awesome. And if you will love somebody and love people, you cannot lose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great day. I almost feel terrible for the ministry that's going to be here all summer, because these great days are going to come to an end probably. Anyway, Father, thank you for this time together. Father, I pray that we will be open and honest about where we are in our love. I pray, Father, we will speak correctly, for there is a perfect love in the Bible. There is, Father, a love that has no fear in it, in the Bible. And Father, there's a love that needs to grow more and more deep. And so, Father, I pray, and where there's a sincere love. And Father, at some level we are at, but Father, it is essential. Can we say what Paul said? Could we do what Hosea did? Could we be the people that Peter wrote to? Father, those are great questions. And I pray, Father, we will not cut corners on your word, because what it does is sap us from loving. Because if we obey your word, Father, we will see so clearly the love you've shown us, that we'll just love total strangers. We really will. And Father, I pray that we will try that and watch that be the case. I pray for the ministries tonight. I pray for the fellowship. I pray for the salt. More than anything, Father, I pray that everyone is loved and loved deeply. Those who need help get their needs met. That we're able to eat together with glad and sincere hearts. And that we're excited to be better useful to you. That when a situation that comes up like what Hosea had to surrender to be your prophet who understood you, that we'll be ready and willing to do that and be that. That's an awesome vision for us, Father. We don't have to do this so our life is better. Please, God, don't give us the false motivation of doing this so our life will be better. Just kill us first. Let us have the motivation that, wow, we could really serve you in a great way, in a way you need, if we will surrender to your word. Father, that's what excites me. I pray that's what excites all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.